Amen. Got your Bibles? Thank you. Thank you, Stephen and John and Venus. There you go. It does not matter whether it's you've got an electronic one or one of these. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be looking at some scriptures this morning. And here we go. Not yet, but we're going to look at some scriptures. Last week, we were continuing to speak about the Holy Spirit. We said the Holy Spirit is a person. And we were looking at mostly from the negative side, right? Because he's a person, don't blaspheme him. That's the worst one. What was the next one? Don't resist him. We can resist the Holy Spirit. The third one was don't lie to him, Ananias and Sapphira. And we ended with last week, don't quench him, or some translations say don't put out the Spirit's fire when he's moving and he's working. And that was in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And it was Paul writes that in the letter to the Thessalonians in the light of prophecy, in the light of God speaking to his people through his people, right? And we ended with praying for that, each one of us praying that the Lord would speak through us, not just to us, but through us to others. Words of encouragement, words of comfort, words of strengthening. Prophecy includes all three of those things. And there was one more that we did not get to last week, but I was looking at the time. And I don't want to continue with that this week. The Lord led and is leading in a different direction this week, but we will come back to that. And so this morning we're going to change direction just a little bit. We've talked about this before, but remember in Romans 8, we have that wonderful chapter. It's a verse that most of us know. Romans 8:28. What does it say? Romans 8:28. Remember that? All things work together for good, right? To those who are called according to his purposes. And we also looked at Romans 8. Romans 8 really is a chapter about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 also talks about prayer. And in Romans 8, we meet two prayer partners. So today, we're going to look at your partner in prayer. So we're going to change direction just a little bit. How many of you, as we think about your partner in prayer, how many of you remember these things? Or is this such a distant memory that you don't even know where your card is? I know where my cards are. These are my cards. These were prayer cards that we invited, fill it out, and get a prayer partner. I have five people here, so I just want you to know I haven't forgotten. I'm praying. Those five of you who gave me this and said, would you pray with me about this? I have been, I am, I will continue. And I'm a prayer partner with you in those things. I hope all of us have prayer partners. And I don't mean just the app, the WhatsApp prayer app that we have, that we use at Lighthouse. That's good. And by the way, if you're not on the WhatsApp group, you're part of Lighthouse, but you're not on the WhatsApp prayer group, I want to ask you, why not? Really, why not? You don't need the prayers of other people? You're not willing to pray for other people? Why aren't you? I encourage you to be part of that. It's one of the places, and it's one of the platforms that we have to pray for one another and to support one another. It's really important. It's really important. But beyond that, I hope you have a prayer partner, at least one. Often, husbands and wives, you are each other's prayer partners, right? Not always, but perhaps you are. I have a prayer partner. My prayer partner, I pray with some of you, and sometimes I'll ask some of you to pray for certain things, but I have a very specific prayer partner who is in the U.S., and my prayer partner is my mother. She said, I can't do a lot of things these days because I'm old and I'm blind, but she can pray. And boy, does she pray. And very often we pray together for you, for Lighthouse, for God's work in your hearts, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your lives, in your families, in every area of your life. And God is working and God is moving, but that is still, as yet, a generally unanswered prayer. So I'm still praying about that, so is Mom, and I hope some of you are as well. So here are my, these help me to remember to pray. But I want us to look this morning at, there are two other prayer partners we have, and Romans 8 mentions both of them. Who do you think they are? Question. Who do you think they are? Okay, Holy Spirit, no-brainer. That's the easy answer, right? 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then he says, for example, we don't know how to pray as we should. Prayer is the Holy Spirit's domain. Prayer is the Holy Spirit's atmosphere. Prayer is the Holy Spirit's work. And we're going to talk about that, but not this morning. We're going to talk about our other divine prayer partner this morning. Who is our other divine prayer partner? I've already heard it. Who? Thank you. Jesus is our other prayer partner this morning. So I want us this morning for just a short while to look at Jesus, our prayer partner, and I believe you are going to be so encouraged as you really understand in what way Jesus is our prayer partner and what a difference it makes in our lives. So let's start with this one. We're going to read three passages, and the first one is from the letter of 1 John. 1 John was written by whom? John. Which John? There are a whole bunch of Johns in the Bible. Which John? John the Beloved. John the Disciple. John who was one of the sons of thunder. Can you imagine what that guy was like? When we get to know him, especially well at the end of his life, we see a man whose heart is full of love, who's very gentle, who really has the heart and the character and the nature of Jesus. But as a young man, he was ready to call down fire from heaven when the Samaritan village didn't welcome Jesus with open arms. Now that gives me hope because I'm a little bit fiery myself at times. But the Holy Spirit's working as he is working in all of us. So if there are areas of your life that are not yet like Jesus, don't give up, don't despair, and don't say, well, that's just the way I am. Let the Holy Spirit keep working on you. So it's John the Beloved. Let's see what he says about Jesus, our prayer partner. 1 John 2:1. We're going to read three passages, then we're going to come back and look at each one. 1 John 2:1, my dear children, now this was the son of thunder, right? And now he's talking to, this is late in his life. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. Sin is serious, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. That's interesting, right? Because advocate is a word that's used of someone else, right? Okay, that's 1 John 2:1. Romans 8:34. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, interceding for us. I like that one too. Hebrews 7:23 through 25. This is a little bit unusual. This is from a Jewish perspective, but we'll look at it. There were many priests under the old system, high priests, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he holds his priesthood forever. Therefore, he is always able to save completely those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So for a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about Jesus, our prayer partner. Three passages, and they're all quite similar, aren't they? So it's all about Jesus, our prayer partner, but in what way? What word would you say, or how would you describe Jesus, our prayer partner, in these three passages? It's not a trick question. They don't use the word, the three writers don't use the word prayer very much, but instead, what word do they mostly use? Okay, intercede, intercessor, or plead. Some of you have a more modern translation, and the word plead, it's often translated. So Jesus is interceding for us, which I think, to me, that's really interesting. We're going to look at these three passages this morning. So he's interceding for us in heaven. This is a deeply, deeply spiritual reality that's a little bit hard for us to understand. And using our earthly words, I think we can't really explain it, but we're going to do the best we can this morning to try to understand what Jesus is doing, what Jesus Christ is doing in heaven for you and for me at this moment, right now. So let's look at it together. So three passages, common thread, but each one showing a little bit of a different aspect of Jesus, who's our prayer partner. So let's begin with the first one. 1 John 2:1, Jesus our advocate. Okay? Jesus our advocate. Let's look at it again. So first one, 1 John 2:1 again. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So here, Jesus is called advocate. And in the Greek, this word is exactly the same word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit, which I find interesting. And it shouldn't surprise us, because remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he said, I'm going back to heaven, but I am sending another one who is just like me. He is like me in nature. He is like me in character. He is like me in his work. And Jesus here is called the advocate. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, or the one who is truly righteous. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate. He's called alongside to help. So what do you do when you sin? What do you do? Some Christians, when they sin, run in the other direction, right? I've talked with Christians before who have sinned, and they're so ashamed of what they've done that they don't come to church that Sunday because they feel so bad. I've done this, and I feel so bad about what I've done. And what John wants us to know is that that's the wrong direction to go when we sin. First of all, don't sin. Sin is serious. Never say, oh, well, it doesn't matter too much if I sin, because there's always grace. We remember that our sin put Jesus on the cross. And so John says, don't sin, dear children. But if you do, you have an advocate. This encourages me because we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Now, I said the words are a little bit hard to understand, because when we look at this, who pleads our case before the Father, do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like we've sinned and God's mad. Right? That's what it seems like. We've sinned, God's mad. We've sinned, and God's disappointed with us. Again? Can't you do better? That's what we feel. But that's not what it's like in heaven. We have God who is the righteous judge. But remember, it's God who sent Jesus. It's God who says, these people need help. These children made in my image will never make it on their own. I want to have a relationship with them, and so I give them Jesus. And Jesus comes, and he pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who's truly righteous. Look again at his name, Jesus Christ. These are the two names of the one who came from heaven, right? There's Jesus, that's his name on earth. That's Jesus, that means he was a man. That's Jesus, who means he lived in a body that you live in. That means he's Jesus, who faced unkind people. That means it's Jesus who faced temptation. It's Jesus who understands your weakness. But he's also Christ, the one sent from heaven, the one who came from heaven, who could come to earth, walk through this earth, live and die perfectly, and then, when he goes back to heaven, pleads whose case? Your case. Our case before the Father. Not before an angry Father, but for a Father who's pulling for you. For a Father who's on your side. For a Father who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have an advocate with the Father. I have a question about this, because remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what was one of the last things he said? You remember what one of the very last things? It makes this a little bit hard to understand. He cried out with a loud voice and he said what? It is what? Finished. And yet here's a picture in heaven of Jesus still at work. How do we put the two together? How can we understand that? Jesus finished his work on earth completely. He did everything that could be done on this earth. It's finished. And then when he returns to heaven, here's how I see this. I don't know if this is right or not. This is how I see it. Jesus pleads our case before the Father. I don't see Jesus saying a lot of things. Do you know what I see Jesus doing? I see Jesus with his body and his blood. He pleads our case. You've sinned. He pleads your case. Yes, she has sinned. Yes, she has fallen short. But I've paid the price. Yes, he blew it and lost his temper again. But here is my blood, and it covers the sin. We have someone who pleads our case, who intercedes for us. Amen, amen, amen. When Paul the murderer turned to God, Jesus pled his case. But God, he murdered your children. And Jesus pleads his case. You have been unfaithful, but Jesus pleads your case. You have stolen, but Jesus pleads your case. You have lied, but Jesus pleads your case. You have given in to temptation, but Jesus pleads your case in heaven. What a prayer partner. What a prayer partner. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Jesus, our defender. I like this one. I like this one. It's very similar to 1 John 2:1, but I see it even a little bit differently. Look at there. Let's start with the negative. I want to ask you a question. Who is against you? So Jesus, our defender. It's very similar to the passage we just read. Who is your enemy this morning? Who's your enemy? Say it again a little bit louder, John. Satan is our enemy, right? So here's Satan, and his name comes from a verb that means to act in opposition or to act as an adversary, especially in an assembly or a gathering. Another name for him is found in Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." The accuser. Can you imagine Satan in heaven standing before God and saying, "Look at what they did. They should be more grateful. I thought you said that they were your child. I thought that they prayed, and I thought that they came to church, and I thought they said, 'I'm following Jesus now.' Just look at them." And we've got a picture of it in the Old Testament, right? We've got a picture of Job when the devil goes before God and says, "Look at Job." And God says, "Have you seen my servant Job? He's a righteous man." And what does the accuser do? The accuser immediately says, "Ah," he questions his heart and his motives, right? And he says, "Oh, he's just serving you because you bless him. If you stopped blessing him, he'd stop serving you." The accuser of the brethren. And I want to say something else. He accuses you before God. And you know what else he does? He accuses you to your face, right? How many of you have ever fallen? You've fallen short. You've tried. Things have happened. And you hear in your heart and you hear in your ear, "Man, what a bad Christian." It doesn't sound like the devil's voice. It sounds like your own voice, right? Or it sounds like God's voice, doesn't it? You think it's God. "God's disappointed with me. God's upset with me. God's so angry with me. I blew it again. I blew it again." May I say to you, you will never hear the voice of an angry God in your heart or in your ear. It will never be God. It will never be God. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that?" I can say that because the Bible says that. But it is the voice of the enemy. And he's the accuser of our brothers and sisters, always accusing them. Because we have an accuser, we need a defender, right? Because we have an accuser, we need a defender. Let's read Romans 8, 33 and 34. "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, interceding for us." Amen. And so we have a defender. And I love this passage as well. You say, "Well, yeah, it kind of says the same thing in 1 John 2:1, but it's a little bit different here." Because here, when we look at this, the accuser, it means someone who is in the assembly as people are gathered. You can think of the courts of heaven. And in the court of heaven, the devil says, "Yes, but they sinned." And then Jesus, your defender, stands up. Now this time I imagine him saying something. Jesus stands up and says, "Yes, they sinned, but I paid the price." And your accuser saying, "Yeah, but look what they did. Look how much they owe. Look at how they've blown it. And Jesus, your defender, standing up and saying, yes, but I've paid the price. Yes, but the debt has been covered. Yes, but. And the voice of Jesus, your defender, is the voice that stills the voice of the accuser. It stills the voice of the one who condemns. You need to hear that this morning and know that this morning, because I believe so many of you are really living under a cloud of condemnation. You're living under I haven't been good enough. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. God is angry with me. God is disappointed with me. I'm not good enough. And Jesus, your defender, stands in the court of heaven and says, yes, but I've paid the price. I've taken care of it on the cross. What does it say in Romans 8:1? I love how this chapter starts. That's Romans 8:33, 34 is near the end of the chapter. But Paul begins this chapter by saying, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you belong to Christ Jesus? Yes or no? Yes, there's no condemnation. Why? Because you have a defender in heaven, Jesus, who's always pleading, who's always defending, and every lie Satan utters, or truth that Satan utters, because sometimes he says, they blew it. Yeah, you did blow it. But Jesus, your defender, says, yes, but I've taken care of that. Condemnation. Jesus was condemned on the cross. The punishment of sin. Jesus paid the price. The anger of God on sin, it fell on Jesus so that it might not fall upon you. Jesus took it all to the cross. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Really, really praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And then the final one this morning. Jesus, our forever high priest. I saved the best for last, I think. Jesus, our forever high priest. Let's look at the passage. Hebrews, what does it say? There were many priests under the old system. Wait a minute. I don't understand this language. Well, if you're from a Catholic background, you understand this a little bit better, right? But this was Jewish language, okay? And they understood there were priests, and there was a high priest, and there were sacrifices, and they understood all of that. But everything that they saw, the priests, the high priest, the sacrifices, those were earthly things that helped them understand what one day would be spiritual reality. So let's look at this together very quickly in the last few minutes that we have. So the writer to Hebrews is talking about the way it used to be, but keep in mind what he's really talking about and who he's really talking about this morning is Jesus, okay? Jesus, who is our prayer partner in heaven. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he holds his priesthood forever. Therefore, he is always able to save completely those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. I want to say something before we go any further this morning. Some of you come from a Catholic background where you, I'm not pointing a finger, but some of us do, right? And we are used to going to a priest and confessing our sins. We are used to maybe praying to Mary because Mary can talk to Jesus on our behalf. Or maybe I can pray to the saints because they'll kind of understand, because they were people too. What I want to say to you this morning, if you're still struggling with that, and you're still thinking about that this morning, is this. There is someone else who was also human just as Mary was. There is someone else who was human just as the saints were, just as human as they were. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But among Jesus and the saints and Mary, there's only one who lived a perfect life and who paid the price for sin. And that's why you go to Jesus. That's why you go to Jesus. You don't have to go to Mary. Oh, God will listen to Mary. Jesus will listen to Mary. Do you know who God listens to? He listens to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus ever lives to intercede. And Jesus presents his broken body for you. And Jesus presents his blood shed for you. And God hears and God answers. Therefore, he is always able to save completely those who come to God through him. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we come through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Now, I want us to look at some Old Testament verses as we come to a close. Stay with me, okay? So we're talking about Jesus, our forever high priest. What did the high priest do in the Old Testament? What did he do? He presented offerings, right? What did the high priest do? He prayed to God on behalf of the people, right? But now here's Jesus, who is our high priest. And I want to show you a picture. Are you ready? Let's look at Exodus. Exodus 39, verse 1. The craftsman, this is a picture of the earthly high priest. Okay? You with me still? Okay. The craftsman made beautiful sacred garments of blue, purple, and scarlet cloth, clothing for Aaron to wear while ministering in the holy place, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Who was Aaron? The brother of Moses. Who was the first earthly high priest? Aaron. Okay, so this is the first one. First high priest ever. God said he will be the high priest. Who's the last high priest? Jesus. Easy answer. Jesus, and Jesus is the forever high priest, right? But Aaron died. So here's Aaron, and God says, make special clothes that are very beautiful, okay? Y'all are saying, huh? Hang on. Look at what comes next. Here are the special clothes. I'm going to read just part of it. The workmen, the craftsmen, they prepared two onyx stones. Onyx, what color is onyx? Black. Okay, some Bible verses say red instead, but onyx, so onyx is black, and they prepared two onyx stones that were beautiful. Now look at this description. They prepared two onyx stones in gold settings. The stones were engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel, just as a seal is engraved. So two stones, they were quite large. Six of the tribes' names were on one stone, six were on the other. And what happens next? Oh, I like this. He fastened these stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod or ephod as a reminder that the priest represents the people of Israel. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here's his beautiful clothing. And on this shoulder are six names of the tribes of Israel. On this shoulder are the other six names. What does that mean for you and for me this morning? You should be encouraged by this morning. It represents, the priest represents the people of Israel. Now that was Jewish, but you and I are the children of God. And the high priest bears on his shoulders the names of his people. Your name is born upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, this morning. There are some of you that are bearing heavy burdens for yourself. I love this. Jesus is praying for you in heaven. And brothers and sisters, he's bearing your burden. He wants to bear your burden. He wants to carry the burden that's too heavy for you. He wants to carry. He is designed to carry. He is strong enough to carry those heavy things that are crushing you. Those heartaches that you think, I can't get over it. Those broken relationships that are breaking your heart. And Jesus, your forever high priest, who is in heaven praying for you this morning, carries on his shoulder you. He carries you. Be encouraged this morning. Be strengthened this morning. You say, are you sure? Is that a stretch? It's not a stretch. What does it say in Matthew 11:28? The words of Jesus, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Brothers and sisters, you have a forever high priest this morning who is waiting to carry your burdens, who is strong enough to carry your burdens, who is equipped to carry upon his shoulders the burdens that are too heavy for you to carry eternally and forever. That's your high priest. But that's not all. You say, that's not all? It gets even better. Are you ready? Stay with me. We're coming to a close. Let's go a little bit further. The clothing of the high priest, who is Jesus, your forever high priest. He had a chest piece. The ephod was something that went over the front and back. I don't want to get into all that. I want to keep it simple. I really want to keep it simple. The chest piece was about 9 inches square, and it was placed right here. Okay? Let's see how it's described. Ooh, it sure is fancy. Bezalel, who was the craftsman, who was filled with the Spirit of God to make these beautiful things just like God said, he made the chest piece. Look at this. I really love this. With great skill and care. I wonder why he made it with great skill and care. Hang on to that. He made it to match the ephod. The ephod was the piece that was they wore front and back. Finely woven linen, embroidered with gold and with blue, purple and scarlet thread. You say, huh? Get ready. Are you ready? They mounted 4 rows of gemstones on it. The first row contained carnelian, which is a red stone. Topaz, that's my birthstone. Emerald. The second row contained turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. The third row contained orange jacinth. Nobody knows what that stone is, by the way. We'll find out in heaven. I have no joke. Nobody knows what that stone is. We'll find out one day. Orange jacinth, agate, and purple amethyst. The fourth row contained a blue-green beryl, an onyx, and a green jasper. All these stones were set in fine gold. Hang on. Your forever high priest. He carries on his shoulder the names of the people and the burdens of his people. And he carries upon his heart his people. And his people are precious to him. The workman made it skillfully and carefully. 12 precious stones set in gold, perfectly made, perfectly put together. You say, Pastor, are you stretching? No, I'm not. Look at what it says in verse 14. Each stone represented one of the 12 sons of Israel, and the name of that tribe was engraved on it like a seal. You are precious to your forever high priest. You are valuable to your forever high priest. He not only carries your burdens, he bears you upon his heart forever. He loves you. He's not tired of you. He's not angry with you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not saying, come on, do better. He's saying, I carry you on my heart. I love you with an everlasting love. You are valuable to me. You're different from everybody else. Look at that. I might have repeated some stones, but there were 12 different stones with all the names of the tribes of Israel. All of them. Every one of them. You're sitting here this morning. You are precious to God. You are valuable in His sight. And your forever high priest in heaven bears you on his heart, pleading with you. He is your high priest. He is interceding for you. Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I had a hard time choosing the last verse. You know why? Because so many verses talk about the love of Jesus for us. Everlasting love, undying love, your forever high priest. Jesus is your prayer partner in heaven. When the enemy accuses you, Jesus is your prayer partner in heaven. When you fail and when you fall, Jesus is your prayer partner in heaven. When you feel unloved, unworthy, and alone, Jesus, your prayer partner in heaven, carries you on his heart. When you feel that the burdens of this world are crushing you, Jesus, your prayer partner in heaven, carries you upon his shoulders to give you rest. Amen? Let's close in prayer this morning. Receive the word of the Lord into your heart and into your life this morning. Jesus, we are eternally grateful that you are our forever high priest. You carry us on your shoulders when we cannot put another foot in front of the other. You carry us on your heart when we feel unloved and unworthy, or when we feel great. You carry us on your heart always, always. When we blow it and the enemy is accusing us and shooting fiery darts at us, you're standing, our defender, and saying, yes, but I've already taken care of that. What are you talking about? That's old news. It's under the blood. And when we stumble and fall, you are there, presenting your broken body and your blood shed, the sacrifice that covers all. Jesus Christ, our prayer partner, ever interceding for us, ever pleading for us, ever defending us, ever carrying us on his shoulders and on his heart. We receive you this morning again. We come to you this morning. Forgive us for at times going to other people or for praying in ways that really didn't do anything, because you are our high priest. You are our defender, and we come to you. We're so glad that you are our prayer partner in heaven forever, eternally, never failing, never tiring, never stopping. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit's just speaking to your heart right now. So just take in what he's saying to you right now, okay? It's not, oh, Pastor Jen said this. It's Jesus speaking to your heart this morning, and you need to take it. You need to receive it and hang on to it and hold on to it this morning. Is there a song we could?
I will set my face to seek the Lord.
You're dismissed.
I will set my face to seek the Lord.
My full attention.
Lord.
to his, my God, I will listen to his voice. I will listen to his voice. I will listen to his voice. I will set my face. I will set my face to seek the Lord. I will set my face to seek the Lord. Give my full attention to my God. I will listen for his voice. I will listen for his voice. My counselor, my teacher, reminder, revealer, my healer, my strengthener, repairer, refiner, my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God. Forerunner and finisher, my conqueror, deliverer, restorer, my hammer, my fire, uniter, redeemer, my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God. Commander, my warrior, my shelter, my helper, my leader, my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God.
My shepherd, would you stand?
My shepherd, my gatherer, refresher, rewarder, protector, inspirer, provider, my portion. Forever, my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God. My wonderful God, my wonderful God, my wonderful God, my wonderful God, my wonderful, 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 wonderful,
God, as you're praying this week, remember your partner in prayer, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, sign up. Deadline today. And so on. God bless.